This episode of The Payload is brought to you in partnership with Legion by Lenovo and Intel. Find out more about Legion by Lenovo on Facebook and Twitter at Legion by Lenovo.
The podcast for heroes in the world of Overwatch. This is The Payload.
Hey! Welcome to another episode of The Payload. We're an Overwatch podcast from BlizzPro.com. Today is April 20th, 2017. I should know this. I'm from Colorado.
420.
Oh my God. Okay. This is a family friendly show. Anyways, I'm John Horseman. With me, of course, is the crew. First, she was so nice to let us do the show tonight within like 45 minutes of when we're supposed to. Very, very nice of you. Welcome to the show, Raj.
Thank you. Thank you very much. In my defense, I asked a certain amount of time and I made it in a lot less of a time.
The certain amount of time was an hour and a half before the show started.
Okay, still. And I said, you know, if we can't do it, I completely understand. I'll make it work. But if we can, that'll be really awesome. And you agreed. I gave you the option to disagree. I let it be known that I can make it. And you gave me the wonderful, amazing time. I could have disagreed.
I doubt it. Anyways.
But anyway, glad
anyways,
that we're here.
Anyways, we're don't fight.
Have a lot.
We're not going to fight in front of the child. Hello, Jimmy Bloxham. Hey.
Wait, I'm the child?
You're the child. I think you're the child. I think you are.
Okay. Mommy and daddy are fighting.
I don't know.
Whatever.
We're just three separate. This is not going to be a good show.
But hi, everyone.
This episode of The Payload is brought to you in partnership with Legion by Lenovo. All right, no, we're not starting over. I've put too much work into getting that show started the first time. So we're just going to do it anyway.
Yeah,
anyways,
we'll do it live.
We're doing it live and we're failing. By the way, the guy who said that no longer works at the said station that happened with. So,
I heard he got a good compensation package.
Not the best person to emulate as far as what should you do for a talk show. Anyways, wow, that's as political as we've ever gotten on the show. Send your emails to jimmybloxham@blizzpro.com. All right, let's go ahead and talk about our weeks in Overwatch, about which we have a podcast about. Surprise, surprise, you probably wouldn't know that if you've been listening to it so far. And if this is your first episode of The Payload, I apologize. So, episode 64, April 20th, Denver, Colorado, Rosh, Jimmy. All right, Rosh, tell us about your Overwatch adventures this week. Besides us just tanking right now.
We were, but then we came back on the first day of the new patch. Or I don't remember what day it was, but I think we won every game, but we only got rank for two of the games. So it kind of sucks because we won five games. You know what? It wasn't because of me. It wasn't because of me. And I thought that it was because of me because I had like a teeny tiny like 0.1 second patch that I had to install and we started getting rank after that. That was just a coincidence because as I continued to play on through the night, I was still getting games where I wouldn't get ranking and other people were talking about it in chat too. So it wasn't just a soul factor on my part. It was happening widespread across everybody else. And I'm sure that some people who are listening to this podcast can probably agree that that probably happened with them and confirm that for me. So it wasn't my fault, but it kind of bit that the last time we played, we won 100% of our games and we got rating for two of them. Yeah. So past that, my week of Overwatch has been mostly filled with decaying, because I just have so many counts at this point, it's just so hard to juggle them. So I'm trying to catch up on all of them. I've climbed back to 39, 40 on my one account. So hopefully we'll get that back over the GM hump in the next couple of days. But other than that, it's been really relaxing.
You have like 2 weeks to get back to GM, or we have to look for another co-host. So make that happen.
Okay. Noted.
The highest level of expectation on this podcast. Jimmy, how did it go for you this week in Overwatch?
It's been a lot of fun. I've been doing some competitive here and there. It's been going well. I'm up to, I think, 2,100 now. So I've gotten myself out of the dregs of ranking. And oh my goodness, this Overwatch event is amazing. I keep playing it over and over and over, and I love when they have these events. So I'm really excited about Overwatch right now. This has been really fun, and I haven't gotten all the skins I want quite yet, so I gotta keep grinding for some loot boxes. But I do have a couple, or like 4,000 credits saved up, so I can at least get one of the legendary skins for sure that I want. I'm trying to decide which one I want, so any input from you guys would be helpful in deciding that.
I just crossed 10K credits and I have 40 unopened loot boxes. I think one of the best parts of Rosh's stream is how she trolls her chat with not opening loot boxes, and it is 100% paid off. 100%. It is the funny. They're like, open your loot boxes. Like, what loot boxes?
I actually have a command now that says !! Loot boxes, and it just says, are you triggered now, Kappa?
Oh my goodness.
That comes in now. It's so perfect. I love it.
So I had a good week in Overwatch. I didn't win a lot, but I actually learned that my teams win more when I'm actually playing DPS and not Zarya. Because I do a lot of damage, I guess, as soldier. So, yeah. So it's been fun. Jimmy was actually watching me. I did a little pre-show stream on the BlizzPro stream, and I was just wrecking a soldier. Had ult up all the time, just wrecking. It was so much fun.
The other thing about my week in Overwatch is I've been learning the new Lucio.
Such a good change. We're going to talk about that for sure.
I know we're going to talk about that more, but yeah, I've been playing a lot of Lucio just to figure out how he plays now, because it's a pretty drastic change, but I think it's for the better.
Sure. I ran into one thing this week, is that I got slept by Ana's all the time.
All the time.
And my team would abandon me. So I added a new sounder to my soundboard. So whenever that happens, I play. Wake me up before you go, go. Don't leave me hanging on like a yo-yo. Wake me up. So yeah, that happens every time I get slept. And I'm like, I'm not, you know, taking damage beyond that.
For anybody who watches John's stream, I am sorry when that happens. I am sorry.
Both of you.
You should have you should have a counter for that.
A counter, we should. That's a lot of work.
No, I know.
That's a lot of work. Maybe one day I'll get like OP mods, you know, like Shadow Vapor on steroids, and you know, we'll find a way to make that happen. So, but yeah, I had a good week. I played a lot, and I'm learning more DPS characters now and switching off the Zarya. I just crossed 100 hours on Zarya. So I'm like, okay, that should be sufficient for now. There's a lot more about the game I want to learn. So that's where we are. It's been a lot of fun. You know what else is fun? News.
This week in Overwatch.
All right, before we get started, we do want to thank our MVPs, Adam B, J.A., Corell, Tommy H, and Liam O. Thank you so much for your support of the payload. If you like the payload, want to support and be like, hey, I like these guys, here's a cup of coffee each month, whatever, head on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast. Find out how you get involved. We are so dang close to that $200 merch store. I'm so excited because I wear my payload shirts all the time. So yeah, that's the first stuff. Second things. Well, we didn't get to talk about this last week, but the new Overwatch Uprising event is live, going through May 1st. And reviews have been amazing. No pun intended. And it's been a lot of fun. And we've been doing it quite a bit here on the show. And we haven't run it together, though. We should find a way before May 1st to run an uprising, a round of uprising together. We'll have to find out which one of Rosh's Smurfs she wants to do that on, though. And
I don't think her MMR matters for that.
MMR is actually how you get match made against the Omnic players.
Okay. Gotcha. They have their own tier of skill rating between
read
the
patch
Omnics.
Notes,
gotcha.
Please.
My bad. Sorry.
I literally give you show notes. I just need you to read them.
One thing I really like before we move on to the next topic, but one thing I've really liked about this event is, if you haven't really thought about it, it's a really good way of learning new heroes. Like someone, if you've never played Genji, like you're going to have plenty of AIs to go up against as Genji and this thing on a normal level, or if you want to increase the difficulty, it'll help you with getting your combos down, because there's certain combos as Genji with the shurikens and the dashes and your melees that it could, if you're looking for practice and you don't want to put yourself through the amazing fun of quick play these days, doing this event is a really good way to practice your characters and practice your combos and aiming and stuff like that.
Yes, I would agree. Yeah, I've had a lot of fun. Like, can we just talk about these skins for the second and stuff like that? So Nipple Genji, we got him. So there we got. Rosh gets another skin for Mercy. Guess how many Zarya skins we got?
You had the summer events. No. I thought you were talking about in total. Yeah.
Oh, that's a good idea. That's a good idea.
Zero.
I just like that you had that.
Want to ask why you had it already.
I'm just adding things here. Anyways, we got Rosario got another flexing pose. So Jeff said that they are working on a Zarya skin. That's awesome. And I'm holding him to it because I'm due.
The one legendary I unlocked was the Oriza skin. It's actually pretty cool. It's all purpley and Omnic like. And
yeah, awesome. I like the Oriza skin.
How about for feels that Widowmaker spray? Oh my goodness. Have you guys seen that?
This is lore,
right?
Stuff. Rosh is,
yeah.
Rosh is
sorry.
What lore is GM?
You wouldn't know.
It's true. So true. 100% true. Thanks for reminding me that I'm just, a mediocre player, not worth of, not worthy. I played console when we started this podcast, and Rosh made fun of me there.
No, you're on the come up, though. We've moved you to PC, and you're up to Diamond. You're on the rise. You're becoming a better player overall.
I like come
now
up.
You're in Diamond.
I'm on the come up.
Yeah, like exactly.
How about also that Diva highlight intro?
So good.
I love the Diva highlight.
So good.
I love it.
Diva main. That's what I'm gonna be. How about the Torbjorn skins? The one with his the white tank top with his hand still there, and he's got like the mutton chop beard. Reminded me of a older self.
Yeah, I like the Torb skins. I think that they're pretty cool.
Yeah. So it's
surprised they're both legendary skins though.
Yep, that's true.
All of the skins that they came out with this patch were all 3,000 coins, were they not? I don't think there was a single skin that came out that was only 1,000.
I think there was maybe one or two that weren't, but I could be wrong.
Wait, what about, you mean epics?
Yeah, like if you wanted to buy them with currency.
Bastion was an epic.
Right, Bastion.
Orisa was a legendary.
Yeah, Orisa was a legendary.
And then Reinhardt was an epic.
It's just, I guess it's kind of weird to come out with two skins for one character that are both 3,000 coins to buy. Because if you're a Torbjorn main, and for whatever reason, if you're a Torbjorn main and you want those skins, that's, it kind of bites to have to spend 6,000 currency or just hope that you have the best luck of your life in opening loot boxes. So, but kind of does suck for them.
Yeah. But here's the thing, is like they normally do that though. Well, they did that with the initial legendaries is you had two legendaries, but they were kind of reskins of the same ones. Reskins of the same skin. So it was just like a different color scheme. The Soldier 76, you have like Freedom 76, I think he's called. That's like Evel Knievel. And then you also have like the blue biker dude with like the biker helmet. And so, you know, like they've got that and they've kind of done that before. I can't remember. Well, and Zarya got that too with the Summer Olympics skins. She got two Olympics. So I guess they do.
Same with Lucio and Tracer, right? They both had like two legendaries at the Summer Games.
You're right. Two hockey ones and then two like track and field ones. Yeah, you're right. So I guess they've done it. So it's not that weird, Raj.
Sorry. Okay, you guys are right.
I agree that it feels weird to have two legendary skins for a single hero.
I don't
hero
like it for events. Yeah.
Yeah, because like that's a events. Lot. And because you can already get normal skin duplicates in the loot boxes and normal epic skins that aren't even related to the event in the event loot boxes. It's like your chances of getting these skins all in one event are becoming less and less and less because they're just adding more and more skins. So it's kind of mixed feelings, I guess.
Right. So that's what's going on. Omnic Uprising goes through. Well, it's just Overwatch Uprising goes through May 1st. I'm sure you've all heard it from the dozens of other articles and podcasts and things like that. So we're not going to go through it. 9 days later.
One more item really quickly since we're on lore that everyone loves.
Sure, Jimmy.
Is the Ana spray shows Farah's father, I believe.
Mm. And a young so strapping Reinhardt.
Yes. No, it is not Reinhardt.
I quit. Unless uninstall.
Unless Reinhardt suddenly became Native American.
Native American?
Male appears to be Native American from what he looks like, but I'm not sure. We'll have to see if Blizzard fesses up on
typing. I love it. Wonder if I'll get any emails about that. Thanks, Jimmy. Sorry. I'm being kind of a salty old curmudgeon this week, aren't I?
It's all good. No, we're having fun and bantering. It's good.
Yeah, the aroma there, the diffuser is supposed to relax you, John, not tighten you up.
So I lied. This is supposed to be, it was supposed to be lavender, but it's cedar wood.
Mm.
Apparently that makes me aggressive.
Yeah. So no more cedar wood. We're just going to.
All right. Anyways, quiet.
The show.
Quiet, everybody. So we got some news this week. That's actually new news. First, assault objectives are getting changed. Good Lord. Man, was that annoying. So specifically on hybrid and two capture point maps, how it worked is a team had to do was advance the little dial past whatever the other team did. So if you got 15% or 7.6% or 1% or point whatever, I think 0.5 is the lowest or something like that. All you had to do was get it past that and you won. Which, as you fill up the dial, felt really fair and really good. What did not feel fair and good is when, like, you know, it was like you didn't, you know, touch it really or do that. And then all of a sudden, all you had to do is touch the point to win. And it was kind of surprising and weird. And it made you, like, have some really weird, cheesy defensive comp. So they've changed that now to where you have to fill up, you know, how the bars go 33%. So in thirds. Mm-hmm. They've made it now to where you have to fill it up to at least a third to be able to get credit, I guess, for that. And then the other team has to fill it up to at least a third in order to tie. Now, what they said is this is going to result in more draws, still less than the first iteration of this. But they did agree that it didn't quite feel right that way, and the community let them know pretty quick. I didn't know a lot of people who were like, on paper, this draw mechanism was perfect, right? It's absolutely perfect. On paper, I don't think you make an argument against it. But in actual play, it actually felt bad. And I'm not one of the guys who's normally like, but it doesn't feel good or feel right. I'm like, no, the math is there and it's all. But this is one of the few changes I saw where I'm just like, this doesn't feel good. Rosh, is this a good change? Is this the right change? Do you think we're going to see another iteration of this?
Yeah, I think that I don't think that we will see another iteration of this. I don't think you can get much better at preventing the ties and the percentage of ties than this, other than maybe tweaking like res times, your res spots. But that's when you have to go into the actual game and change the design and the layout of the maps and stuff like that. And I just don't see them doing that with a game with X amount of maps that have been released for this long. I just don't see them going back and then changing the coding on that. So I think that this is probably one of the better changes, and if not one of the best changes that they could have done. Like John said, the previous one where it's whoever got the more percentage won was amazing on paper. I can completely understand why they pushed this through and they thought everything was going to be good. But then there started happening to where if Team A didn't touch the point at all, Team B had to come through with a D.Va and a Lucio, and you get one good D.Va dive into the team, which knocks everybody back, and then you get a good Lucio boop, and then all of a sudden they're not on the point at all, and you just touch it, and that's just instantly over. That's it. That's so unfair for the defending team, because you're at such a disadvantage trying to defend on a square with no LOS. So I can completely understand why they changed it. I'm glad they changed it. I don't think that we'll see any further iterations on changes to this. I think this will probably be how it stays, and I think it's the most fair that they can have with it.
I have one suggestion, and this is how I think it could be the best. And that is, after you clear that first marker, that first third, then go by actual percentage. So, you know, that way it's not just touching. You can still defend. There's plenty of time for your team to get back there to do it. But at the same time, it's not, you know, just like, oh, we didn't get that second tick, now we don't get to go, you know, because at the end you did. You got the control point higher than your opponents. And it wasn't just because you snuck a tracer or a sombra on while they were trying to, you know, set up a defense. And so that would be the one thing where, like, I'd love for them to explore what that might look like. But at the same time, I would also be the first one to admit that's not the most obvious rule set. So I don't know. We'll have to see kind of if they end up doing anything different here. Man, this is so old. I barely even want to talk about it, but Jeff Kaplan did kind of weigh in on smurfing and boosting, and basically said smurfing's fine, boosting's not. And they're fine with smurfing. You're a grandmaster player. You want to reset your MMR and your SR and your internal matchmaking rating, and you want to, you know, level it up again. They're like, hey, that's fine, because within about 15 games, you should be back to a similar MMR where you were before.
Yeah.
Boosting is where you take an excellent player and a crappy player, and you have them, you know, roll new accounts together and then play together to get that bad player ranked higher than they should be. Hi, Rosh.
I was trying to drink to not laugh. Like, I was trying to, like, do sounds something like a, and then you still...
Did we do a bad thing?
Actually,
we did it. You know why? Because my own personal MMR, the highest on my main account, is 300 points lower than our highest on this quote-unquote boosted thing. So it's not that impactful. So I'm going to say no.
I would say it's more smurfing, though.
Yeah, that's what I would say is maybe, at least coming from me, I'm a support player.
Shadow, could you not post like four paragraph essays of links in the chat, please? That'd be great. We're trying to do a show here.
Oh my goodness. What I see is the difference is, I probably shouldn't admit this, but why not? We're going to do it anyways. I basically got boosted by a fan of the show that just intentionally tanked their MMR and then was able to get me out of bronze pretty easily. And yeah,
we're gonna get so many angry emails this week. Well, I'm turning off my email this week, by the way.
I think in Jimmy's case, I think that Jimmy shouldn't have been in that ELO in the first place. I think that it was just unconditional. I don't think you should have been there in the first place. So I think if you were to stop playing with the guy that you've been playing with, when you were stop playing with him, I still think you would succeed in that ELO. Whereas boosting is when they're boosting you to an ELO that you would never have gotten to on your own. On your own, you could not succeed. So I think if you were to stop playing, and I believe I know who it is, but I don't know if
don't say who.
Yeah, that's and so I think if you were to stop playing with them, you would still be fine. And I think you would still have a higher than 50% win rate. So I don't think in your case it was boosting. And I don't think in John's case it was boosting, because yes, we were able to climb there a lot faster, but we were also experimenting, you know, the past ELO levels on how it affected you between season 2 and season 3 and season 4, and if it was better to create a fresh new account. So there were, and we still didn't, I mean, you really didn't end up further much higher than you were on your main account. So I still fully believe that you'll be able to get to where we got on our account, our duo account, on your main account as solo. So I don't think it technically was boosting.
Keep telling yourself then. That's what we're going to keep telling ourselves. Like I said, I'm not checking my email this week.
I mean, so. I only got quote unquote boosted to gold and stopped there. It wasn't like I went to masters and now I'm like ruining these master player games. I think they're more concerned about that than some of the other stuff. It definitely is kind of awkward when you get into a game when you're in silver and goldish and there's like master ranked players in there. It's definitely like, what are you doing?
Yeah, I agree.
Yep. Story of my life there. Anyways, so that Jeff chimed in on that. We wanted to talk about that because, like, there's a quote from The Office where it's like, where Kevin Malone's like, Martin explained what insider trading was to me, and it sounds like what I do every day.
Yeah.
So, anyways, let's go into esports. Jimmy, you're up.
I'll watch esports.
Nice. Very good. Very good. That was funny. Anyways, we've got quite a few things to go through. We're going to go through them quickly and move on. Yeah. First, congratulations to Lunatic High defeating Runaway 4-3 in a nail biter series at Apex Season 2. Well done. On top of that, Monte Cristo and Doa will be returning to the U.S. from Korea to cast Overwatch League. It's official. It's on ESPN and all that stuff.
Yeah, they made the announcement on the Apex finale with Runaway and Lunatic High themselves too. So,
can we just get more details about this Overwatch League? Like, please?
You did get some. Now we know who's going to be casting it.
Okay. Yeah. Exactly. I want to know a date. When am I going to get my first taste of this?
Next week, you're going to know what color the chairs will be.
Oh, good. That's what I was curious about.
Yeah. And then the week after that, you're going to find out if they're going to use Coke or Pepsi products in the arena. So
they'll use Pepsi because that helps calm down riots.
Oh, true. Nope. Very, very true.
I cannot condone that comment. At all. It does not reflect the express views of the Payload Podcast or BlizzBro or Legion by Lenovo or any of those. That's a Jimmy Bloxham thing. I might just delete. I might just light my email on fire.
I'll answer your email this week. I'll take care of it.
All right. You're in. You got YouTube. You've got YouTube comments too.
Oh, gosh.
Anyways, so Monty and Doa will be back. I don't think anyone here should be surprised about that. It's basically the only thing that would keep them not in Overwatch League is an insane amount of money from OGN, which they might, I mean, they would get because they're amazing. They're amazing casters. They're the top notch, but
I imagine Blizzard's paying them quite a bit because there was an interview with Yahoo Esports kind of asking why he was doing the Overwatch World Cup last year at BlizzCon, kind of talking more details about that. And he was like, yeah, Blizzard paid me like four times what Riot was paying me or something. Like he put Riot, like Monte Cristo, he's, if you've followed him at all, you know, he's one to not shy away from sharing his opinion on things. And yeah, he was pretty straightforward in that Blizzard was compensating him much more fairly than they felt other companies right. were.
Yeah. So that's great. We're excited for Doe and Monty, and we're excited for more information on Overwatch League. We're just into Q2 now, meaning that we've got one Q to go before we're going to hear more about Overwatch League. So I would assume we're going to actually start getting details pretty quick in about a month. I bet. Putting my money where my mouth is right now. So that's going on. We also, this is kind of big news for you Cloud9 fans out there. Cloud9 benches Mendo Kusai and Rybe. They signed Zephyr and Selly. Now, if you don't know who those players are, you're not alone. They're not in the really NAEU scene. So you have to kind of be in on the Korean scene to be able to do that. So Zephyr comes from, not going to say that team name, but Appa Danwa. You're welcome. And so here's the interesting thing about Zephyr, okay? So Zephyr, he was formerly Fries 3 and was one of the players of Disneyus who accused Gaguri. Do you guys remember that 17-year-old Widowmaker player who everyone was convinced they were cheating and aimbotting, and they ended up live streaming them playing a tournament just to prove that they weren't aimbotting? This is one of the guys who said, you know, this person's aimbotting. They made some rash statements about it. And so this is what he, Zephyr was initially signed to go to Kongdu Panthera. And within hours of that breaking, so Kongdu Panthera says, hey, Zephyr's coming to our team. And within 3 hours, they're like, actually, they're like, oh, that guy, the guy who was really mean to the 17-year-old Widowmaker player. And, Kongdu Panthera is like, no, deleted the tweet. Like, nope, that's not happening anymore.
Yep.
And all that stuff. Yeah. So
that's just one of those things that you have to be absolutely sure if you're going to publicly call someone out for that. Like, and you got to be 100% sure.
The Korean scene has always been really big on their public image of their teams and their representatives. They've always held their players, their league players, to such high levels of esteem and respect to everybody in the community. I mean, so why he did this, I don't know. Maybe, I'm not sure how old Zephyr is. Maybe he's younger. I actually didn't grab that when I was reading into this, but maybe he was just naive in that whole aspect of it, especially with Overwatch, thinking that maybe it would be different. But we've seen a couple of different times that Korean teams are not joking with how their public relations and their esports players go hand in hand. So, I can see why Kongdu Panthera released that, kind of just tried to sweep it under the rug. Like, oh, you know, we just never tweeted about that. Oh, well, like, let's move on. But hopefully Zephyr has learned, especially because him and Sully will now be joining Cloud9, which is a whole different conversation on its own. And I think it's insane. And I'm sure you guys have thoughts on it, too. But in my opinion, I think Zephyr has learned from his mistake with Gaguri and that whole incident. And from what I've read and what I've seen other people say, Zephyr is incredibly skilled at the game. So it's a shame that he lost his opportunity with Panthera before, but I think that he'll fit in with Cloud9, especially with, their coach. What's Cloud9's? Didn't they just release the coach for Cloud9? I have to pull it up now because it's going to drive me nuts. But he speaks Korean too.
Don't go off script.
He speaks Korean too. So I think that he'll be able to balance the two Korean teams of Zephyr and Sully and the English speaking Cloud9 team as it is. And I think that it'll work out. So it'll be interesting to see going forward how Cloud9 does.
Cool. Well, Sully also, he comes from Rhino's Gaming Wings. Mm-hmm. And what I want to hear from you guys is Mendo Kusai and Rybe, how do you say it, Rosh? Do you say rib or rib?
I say it rib.
Okay, fine. Yeah. I'll go.
Bishop,
I'll go with
by
rib.
The way, is Cloud9's coach. That's what I was talking about. His name is Bishop. Yes.
Got it. Okay, great. So are they better off? I mean, Mendo is, you know, was at least to my perspective and what I've seen really well respected as an Overwatch player. And this one really surprised me. Rib, not so much. Not that they didn't contribute or he didn't contribute as much, but it's just, I don't know. It was just something that, kind of came across as odd to me. Rosh, is this a better Cloud9 roster? Which, by the way, they debut on April 22nd for the Overwatch Rumble. Gods is going to be replacing Rib on tank.
Yeah, and I think that's what kind of baffles me the most is, no offense to Gods, I think he's amazing, but I think he's amazing more towards the Roadhog and DPS center. And Rib is a really good tank. I know that there are memes that I'm here to watch Rib ult some shields. Like, I understand. But aside from the Twitch memes, Rib's a really good tank. So it kind of confuses me why they're kind of bottlenecking Gods in this tank position in place of Rib and leaving him to... Maybe in playing with Cloud9, Gods has been a better tank and he's meshed well more with that. I don't know. That's a lot of stuff behind the scenes that we obviously have no idea what's going on after Apex and stuff like that. So just from my perspective, it kind of confuses me why they're doing that. But they obviously have a goal in mind and have proved that in team practices off streams and stuff like that. So something's obviously working out. I think that it'll be good. I don't think that there's never any harm of introducing Korean players into your teams. It just always seems to work out the best. So I think that that'll be really nice. And like I said earlier, I don't know much about Sully. I know that he's a good player, but there's not really a lot out there to read about him. But there is a lot for Zephyr as in terms of how good of a player he is. And I've read nothing but really high esteem for how good this Zephyr kid is. So I think it'll be a positive, and I think that Cloud9 will be able to move forward with it.
Cool. I'm kind of... Cloud9 needs to keep shaking things up until they can start winning. That's kind of what I feel like. For a powerhouse team like Cloud9, these kind of mediocre finishes aren't okay.
Yeah, just make teeny tiny little changes here and there to try and get them to the top.
Right. It's just like, nope, time to change. And it's just, I was really surprised to see Mendo do that. But this is even more interesting. So yeah. Seagull, you may know him from Going Outside. And he is actually taking a break from competitive Overwatch. And we're going to say this as basically his exact words are, leaving competitive Overwatch until Overwatch League. So He's just going to stream, do his own thing because of everything going on with Overwatch League. And it's just like, I'm going to wait. So Seagull leaves NRG. Mendo subs for him. At the, was it the monthly melee that was at? I think it was.
I believe so.
But Mendo also says, he goes, my banner's still C9. I'm still paid by C9. I'm still on C9.
Yeah, he's very adamant.
Yeah. About I was just C9. Filling in because they needed somebody to play. So what is going on? This is the turmoil of Overwatch esports that while it's so exciting to watch, I also just can't handle it.
It's so hard to keep track of where everyone is right now. It's insane.
I don't blame Seagull. I don't blame him at all because, I mean, one, if you've ever seen Seagull on Twitch, if you've ever seen him, he pulls massive amounts of viewers every single time he streams. Massive, massive amounts. And then if you look at NRG and how they've been doing as a team, esports wise and tournament wise and Overwatch, there's a very, very comparable difference in how much he's probably earning from streaming or tournaments. And as much as you hate to really think like that's the drive why people do what they do professionally and career wise, everybody has to make, like everybody wants to make money doing what they enjoy. So I don't blame him. I really don't blame Seagull for stepping down from competitive Overwatch until Overwatch League, where his popularity is for sure going to get him a spot anywhere, like anywhere possible. He's for sure going to get a spot there, to step back and focus on something that he probably enjoys a lot more, streaming, because of how much more relaxing and enjoyable it can be. But he's also probably going to be much more successful in terms of salary-wise. So I completely understand why he did this.
Well, and he's also got to, like, I mean, if you're an Overwatch player and you're, like, you know, Rogue or Envious, getting, you know, invited to these big $300,000 tournaments and, you know, doing that stuff, practicing. I was actually talking with Jake from LG Evil, and it was, you know, we were kind of talking a little bit, and they're, like, practicing 6 days a week, 6 hours a day, just as a team, not only their personal practice, but that's their team practice. You know, and they're doing it for these $10,000 cups, which means that, you know, the winning team gets $5,000, which means that if the players take home the whole purse, means that they're taking home $900. And let's say you get two of those a month, right? That's $1,800 a month that you're making from those winnings. And I don't know what LG is paying their players and what that looks like, but that's not like when you're a guy like Seagull pulling in 15, 20K, 25, 30K viewers on Twitch.
That's a lot more.
And you're kind of stunted. You're going to be a big player. You're going to be on a big team when Overwatch League comes out. And it's like, do you want to spend 10 hours a day grinding out these small tournaments and cups for, you know, a team that's underperformed? Or do you want to do your own thing? And when that Overwatch League hits, boom, you slide right in, be the best Genji in the world. You know, so I'm pretty interesting. Jimmy, do you have any thoughts on this whole C9 Seagull thing that's going on?
Just I understand why Seagull is taking kind of a step back right now. Pretty much in agreement with what you guys are saying, but just really back on the whole Cloud9 thing, and signing Zephyr and Selly, that is like fascinating to me. On paper, it seems like something that should be really, really good for them. Mm-hmm. But we've in the past seen teams that don't all speak the same language have problems. So I'm really curious to see how this plays out. I mean, really good players' language can sometimes not be a problem, and they just have the intuition there. And practicing together really helps you build that intuition and know when to make certain plays and whatnot. So that'll be really interesting to see. But yeah, Mendo, I guess, just gets to pick up some sort of paycheck from NRG at the same time he's getting paid by C9, which is pretty cool.
Yeah. So that's kind of what's going on in Overwatch esports. It's been kind of a weird, weird couple of weeks. And I think we've got some more odd ones going forward. But let's jump in. There is a couple things we want to talk about. First, DevPost, Scott Mercer discusses some support SR gain. Easy rush. So basically, what the community kind of put forward is that support players are gaining less SR than other players on the team, and then also just as they were used to getting for those wins. And so Scott Mercer kind of clarifies on the Blizzard forum, says, an adjustment went out with the Orisa patch that removes supports getting full assist credits for kills that they contributed very little to. So Rosh just snaps really quickly. Her damage boost on, you know, an ulting Genji, one tap, it was going to die anyway. Rosh gets full credit for it. You're like, nah, not going to happen, right? So that happened. They did an additional adjustment from there to make sure that felt right. And this is interesting. SR gains are largely based off of how you performed versus that hero at similar SRs over a large hero pool or a large game pool. And basically outside of a few kind of, outside kind of reports, SR games are normalized and working as intended. Rush.
Classic Blizzard response. Right.
How do you feel about this, Raj?
I gave up on feeling any kind of way towards SR gain or SR loss at all. They can say whatever the heck they want to say. I am just going to continue on. Like, I barely pay attention to SR anymore. After I hit GM, you know, if I gain points, I gain points. If I lose points, I lose points. At this point, I don't even know. Like, I can't see the numbers. They can say that it's fixed. It's probably always going to feel wonky. It's always going to feel like you're getting less than you deserve, especially when you're grouped with friends who are playing DPS. There's arguments for if it should be a set amount that you gain or per match, or if it should be performance based. And I think either way, there are going to be people who complain and there are going to be people who disagree. I think overall, I like it being performance based. I don't think that you will ever be able to get it perfect on that. You'll be able to achieve 100% of the SR that you should have gained, because I think there are always calculations that just are going to be impossible to have for every single situation that you come across in a match. For example, say I'm playing Mercy with an Ana, and what they said is they're comparing how much SR I get compared to how other Mercies at a GM level perform in their matches. If for whatever reason your team comp goes incredibly tank heavy, you're going to get a lot more healing and you're probably going to be a lot more efficient as a Mercy Ana than you will against a team that's more flankers that you're really not getting a lot of heals on. So if you're running with a team of flankers, your stats aren't going to look that good compared to Mercy who's running a team full of heavily stacked tanks. So I think it's impossible to freaking weigh every situation and every possible factor in to figure it out. And I think there are always going to be issues where you probably got less SR than you needed. I think the best bet is to just accept that life is life in Overwatch and Blizzard terms, and accept that they have reported that it's normalized, and just do the best you can. That's all I've decided I'm going to do.
Hold on.
Arriving at Gibraltar.
Yeah. So, okay, Rosh, I hear you. I hear what you're saying. I feel like this argument could potentially have one fundamental flaw. Is it okay if I share you my, share with you my opinion?
Yes.
You're being a whining baby. No, I'm just kidding.
I'm saying that.
I'm joking. No. I'm joking. You're being a pouty baby. I'm joking again. So
get to it.
My thought is this. You are 100% right. If they're just like, oh, Rosh is a 4,200 Mercy and this person is a 4,200 Mercy and they're on Hanamura defense and we grab all the games from that. Yeah, that's a big oversight and a big flaw in how you are given SR. Now, there are a few things. Number one, we know that a big chunk of your SR just comes from winning or losing. Mm-hmm. We don't know how much, but let's just say 60%. So 60% is winning and 40% is individual. So already, like, if you're going to gain 35 points, which is a lot, especially where you are, you're looking, well, it's, I don't know, 60% of that. Let's say 30%. And that's 18, right? Or whatever. Anyways, you know, 18 of that is just for winning. The other 12 points, you're not talking about these huge, huge gains, even if, because you're still going to get some SR for performing at some point, right? So I think talking about how small that number is kind of important. But I think even more important is I personally believe that they don't just take, be like, oh, Rosh is, you know, whatever, just comparing it across hero pools. I personally think it's something closer to, we take Mercies who have three tanks and a second healer on defense on Hanamura. After, you know, whatever, you know, like there's, you know, they were on offense first or, you know, on this point or, and they lost 0-2. Right. So like, I think that they take more, I think they add more variables. I don't know if it's exact, yeah, like you know, oh, only mercies that lose 0-2 in three tank, you know, because especially a grandmaster, I mean, how often are you paired up with the same people all the time? You're sharing a pool with a few thousand people probably. And how many of them are mercy mains? But at the same time, I do think it is exact enough to look and go, okay, three tank, two healer on defense on Hanamura. I think that that is very doable. And there is a large enough doing. And I would say that that is a, at least a better judgment, so much so that you're skewing probably a couple SR at that point. And then, you know, cry me a river, build me a bridge.
And
Widowmaker grapple hook over it. So anyways, that's, I think there's more to it than just kind of what like Scott implied in his post. And I think that we're reading really deep into it too.
Yeah, it's just, it. The reason people are reading so deep into it is because they're, I mean, and Blizzard has no obligation to release any kind of statistics or numbers on how they do what they do. But if they don't, it's just going to leave us to ponder and to, speculate these numbers and figure out why are they doing this? Why are they doing that? And that opens up a huge broad spectrum of people to complain because they don't know what is and what isn't. So I think that's the massive issue. And again, Blizzard, it's not in a contract when we buy the game that they have to tell us why they do certain things. It's not at all. So it makes sense that they haven't, like they have no priority. They have no obligation to. But I think that's why people are complaining is we just don't know. So it's really easy to cry unfair and that something is off, even though Blizzard is telling us that SR gains seem to be normalized across the board. So I think that's why.
I actually had a pretty good Twitter conversation with Joshy on Twitter about this. And, you know, and he had the same reservations that Rosh, you do. I know I do. Jimmy, I know you do as well, where it's like, ooh, this could be a really bad system. You know, and we're talking about what's better. And like some people are like, oh, if you win, you gain 25. If you lose, you lose 25. And it's just like that. It's like a star system in Hearthstone or whatever else. Or the winning team gains the same amount of SR. The losing team loses. So win together, lose together. Which honestly, at the highest ends, like Master, Grandmaster, I think that's a great system to do it personally. I'm just like, why not once you're in Master and Grandmaster, make it just about win-loss, and that's how you gain SR. But then I was thinking it down, okay, Jimmy and I are down here in, you know, gold, platinum, diamond area, and like, that's different. It is a lot more it's a lot of stats. Mm-hmm. It's just a lot of, the way that I contributed as a Zarya is, did I actually outperform the other Zaryas at a similar ELO in a similar situation? I'm like, that's probably the best way to assign me SR.
Yeah.
Do you think guys think that maybe they could do something that's kind of a hybrid where it is kind of this skill-based thing through Diamond and then at Master and Grandmaster? It's you win, you lose.
I mean, they do it in Hearthstone. Why not? In Hearthstone, you win or lose a star up until Legend. And then when you hit Legend, so you can compare it to Grandmaster or top 500, even if you want to make it that more of a small percentile or larger percentile, that you can switch. Because once you get to Legend on Hearthstone, it then becomes a number scale. And compared to how you're playing against the person, it compares you. If you beat a if you're 2,000, you beat a top 10, you're going to get a lot more points than if you're 2,000 and you beat someone at 4,000. So, I mean, they do it on Hearthstone. So arguably you could say, why not do it on Overwatch? I just think it's a lot trickier figuring out where you put that standard, where you put that benchmark to, okay, now we're switching you over to 25 points per game, 25 points less. Right. And then you also have, this is also, Hearthstone is a 1v1, whereas Overwatch is 6v6. I still get in games at Grandmaster where the other day I played a game at Grandmaster, I had a diamond on my team. So does that diamond get escalated points based on their performance, but the rest of our team gets 25 points if we win or lose?
How is that possible?
It might be.
Because isn't it 500?
I really don't know. I really have no idea how they got it.
They had
down.
To be grouped with a master.
Yeah.
So they were grouped with a master, and then yeah.
Yeah, and then the other people on our team were such high rated that it evened out the master and the diamond player with the grandmasters to bump it up to the other team that had all 3,900. So right. It was just, and so that's where it gets tricky. So yes, arguably you could say that they do it in Hearthstone, they should do it in Overwatch, but I can understand why that might not be a possibility because there's just so many open ends.
Yeah, the harder thing is because you're comparing a 1v1 system to a team system.
Yeah.
And the disparity in skill between, say, a 3,900 ranked team and a 4,100 ranked team or something like that, or even a 4,000 ranked team is pretty big. Yeah. And it's going to feel bad for those 39 people on the 3,900 team. If they lose the same amount of points just because they got a particularly bad matchup or whatever. And obviously the matchmaker is going to have a harder time at those higher levels. You're going to get those 3, 4, 5 minute queues because it's trying really hard to find a even matchup, and there's just less players at that rank.
Yeah.
And so it's going to be harder to do, but
it's not
an easy solution. It's very similar to Overwatch. They don't show it, but there is a hidden MMR attached to your account, and they account that like you'll see on your score screen after the game if you are favored or not, and you'll get more points or less points based on that, or lose less or lose more, etc.
Yeah, the only way I can really see if they want to implement that true skill versus true skill system into the Overwatch and they want to give you 25 points after a certain thing is if they introduce like separate rank queues. For example, if you're a top 500 player, you enter a top 500 player queue, which yes, the games will take longer to queue you into, but a lot of people are asking for this, and I think more people are asking for it than not, where it only places you with and against top 500 players. So I know that's really exact, and it probably will never happen with just top 500 because there's only 500 of those players, so the queue times would be insane. But something similar along those lines where it's like, if you hit GM, I don't know what percentage of players are GM, or 3750 or something like that, you only go up against people 3750 or above. And then in that case, since you know no one's below that number, whatever number that benchmark is set at, you gain or lose 25 points, but they'd have to implement that into the system, and that's not there. So they'd have to make multiple changes to work up to that.
Yeah, I get it. I think what I can appreciate from Blizzard about the current system is, number one, it punishes leavers and throwers, right? Because you're going to be performing less than they would across the field. You're going to get less SR by doing that. So leavers, throwers, things like that, it punishes them more. And if Rosh, you know, in a 5v6 situation does her best, you know, she's going to lose less SR because, you know, she put up good numbers individually. At the same time, and I think Josh, you made an awesome point. It's like you win together, you lose together. It's a team game. And how often have you heard that stupid Hanzo with 3 gold medals not switching? Sorry. Was that too much?
Just let it out. Just let it out,
John.
I stream every day at 3 p.m. Mountain Time, twitch.tv/kicktripod. You can find that. You can get that daily. So, yeah, it's like, you know, and like I hate that emphasis on individual skill for, well, not only did I get 3 gold medals and our team barely won, and it felt bad for me because I had to play Lucio because homeboy wanted to play Hanzo, kind of thing. Like, you know, those, and not that like I don't want to play Lucio, like that's not the thing, but it's like play together, play as a team, you know, and emphasizing that teamwork and coming together so that we all get SR versus, you know, nah, dude, I've got 3 golds, bruh.
Yeah.
Bruh. So,
yeah. We're not gonna have time for our strategy segment this week.
Yeah. I was looking at the time, I was like, wow,
a lot of esports.
Yeah, there's a lot to talk about. I think going back to our conversation for one more aspect, though, I think it's like the lesser of two evils kind of situation where, yeah, neither system would be perfect. And I don't think that there is going to be a system that will ever be perfect because of how many factors go into a 6v6 team element game where your rank is gained solely as a sole individual. It's not you don't have to have a group. You could play the game solely. I don't think that there's going to be a specific perfect best of both worlds, eat your cake, have your cake and eat it too kind of system. I think at this point, it's just which is the best overall and which is the most efficient and stuff like that. But there will still be things that people are unhappy about.
I think pretty easily the Overwatch team can get this within like 3 to 4 yeah. SR points, right? I think honestly, for the most part, they're there. You're within 3 to 4 SR points. And whether you want those 3 or 4 SR points that are misallocated, if you think that they'd be better allocated on a win-lose basis or on a personal performance basis, I think is just kind of, you know, whatever. You know what?
Time is money, friends, and we're almost flat broke.
We are. We gotta get out of here. This was a fun conversation. I didn't think it was that fun. Or it was going to be that fun.
I was like, what?
Oh my goodness.
I didn't think.
I was so.
I didn't think this podcast was going to be fun. Sure enough. We didn't get time to do our strategy segment this week, but I want to let you know what it is because I would love for our listeners and viewers to send us in emails with your thoughts. What we're actually going to be talking about is finding the right character for Overwatch. So this is aimed a little bit more at newer players, but whether you're a new player, intermediate, advanced, expert player, I'm sure you've got some thoughts. So here's my little segue. Overwatch is a game that requires switching and knowing multiple heroes. However, for most of us, we find a hero that we like to call home. Rosh has Mercy, John has Zarya, Jimmy has Lucio, Pharah, whatever he can... You still on Lucio?
Lucio's
kind of your guy, right? So some people haven't found that character or play style and can inhibit your ability to enjoy the game and find heroes that complement your play style. This week, which is next week, we want to discuss more in depth about how we found our home heroes and how you can find yours. Look at that. That's going to be a fun conversation. It's all about finding that play style, finding... You know, I really like Zarya. Where can I go from here to be? What's the next hero I should learn? Does it mean I go straight from, you know, a hit scanny type tracking hero like Zarya and all of a sudden now I'm playing
the Hanzo mate?
Yeah. Never. Never. So that's what we're going to discuss next week. Send us your emails to thepayload@bluespro.com. We'd love to hear about how you found your hero. And what it is, and you know, other you know, heroes that you think are easier for you to move over to, and stuff like that. Oh, I'm gonna cough, so let's go to Patreon. Jimmy, what's going on in Patreon land this week?
Well, while John coughs, we're going to talk about our wonderful MVPs. Thank you all so much for helping to make this show happen. Shadow, J.A. Coral, Tommy H., and Liam O., thank you all so very much. If you'd like to be a part of the show and show your support for the payload, go on over to patreon.com/payloadpodcast. See all the reward tiers there, as well as what all you can get involved in through the Patreon. We are getting closer, ever closer to our merch store. We had John talking about that at the beginning. We would love to be able to offer you guys shirts with our wonderful logo on it.
We're $19 away.
We're $19 away, and it looks like we got a few new patrons this week. Stuart J and Fish Lulz, thank you both so much for contributing.
Awesome, thank you guys. iTunes reviews, we missed a week. What's going on in iTunes land?
So thank you guys so much. 5-star reviews help us a ton on a week to week basis, and if you'd like to show your support for the show, they're also incredibly easy to leave. So thank you bunches to JRock210, Large Marge, who was our first Stitcher review, by the way, Crash Inabon, Lord Bog, and Chris Soul. Thank you guys so much for the reviews and for having kind of easy names to pronounce this week. I appreciate it. If you haven't left one yet, you could do so at...
You missed one. Stitcher.
Wait, I...
After Chris.
I copy-pasted it. Oh! Yes! Dang.
From across the pond.
Yes, because I had to save the best for last from our beloved UK... E. McLeister. That's the best I got. That's...
I'm McLeister.
Yes. That's how you pronounce your name. I had to thank everybody beforehand for giving me the really easy names to pronounce. That's why I left yours for last. Thank you guys so much for the iTunes reviews. Again, 5 stars help us out so much. If you haven't left one yet, you could do so at iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, and Google Podcasts.
Woo! All right. Well, let's go ahead and do shout outs for the week and where people can find you. Jimmy, you're first.
As always, you can find me on Twitter at DJ Tyrant and on Twitch, same name. If you have SiriusXM, I was actually on the show earlier today, which was super cool. I got to talk with Kevin Nock, mostly about hero stuff, but we did talk about Overwatch stuff and Overwatch League. A little bit of speculation on that. So if you have a chance, I don't know if somehow you can watch past or listen to past episodes there somehow, but I'll link it on my Twitter when I find some tidbits from that, because I know they do post clips from it. That was a really cool experience. It's been a very, very busy week for me. A lot of hero stuff came out. I've been casting some tournaments, and next week should be a little more chill. So nice. it'll be nice to relax a little bit. But thanks everyone for your support, and we'll move along, move the payload.
Rosh, what about you? Shoutouts for the week, and where can people find you?
Shoutouts. As you guys know, I took a couple days off of. Okay, well, John is pointing at him, so apparently he's more important than every single one of you.
No, I'm
so,
saying shout out.
No,
me.
That's what he's saying. Shout out to @KickedTripod, John Horseman on the payload. You can find him at Twitter and Twitch at @KickedTripod.
Hung that up. Boom. She's gonna be mad.
Oh my goodness!
I cannot believe you just did that. In the middle of me shouting you out, that's so good.
What, were you shouting me out or throwing me under a bus? Because
anyway, I don't really know. you could find me at Twitter at F2K_OKIt'sRosh. You can also find me at Twitch at twitch.tv/OKIt'sRosh. I will be streaming after the show some ranked shenanigans, and every once in a while, John and I do our experiment on our duo account. So
when it's convenient for Rush.
When it's convenient for both of us. So you can see that there.
when your schedules align.
Exactly.
Which
exactly.
For me is always. I've never said no to duoing with Rush once. I've never said no. Rush. Are we gonna do we need to hash this out after the show? Do we need to like
Rochambeau?
No,
do
we
like
need to
trust falls
IRL,
or something?
To an IRL stream. Yeah, we need to have a trust like exercise under IRL stream.
1v1.
Switch it. There you go. We'll just like duke out all of our like energy towards each other in 1v1s. But normally we do the multi-twitch, so you can catch us both on those.
I actually discovered something new, Khadgar.net. It's like multi-twitch, but you can see both chats at the same time.
Oh, that's interesting. Yeah. Okay, cool.
So cool. People can be a part of both chats, and they don't have to like, I want to watch Rosh's chat, but I really want to troll John, and I have to kind of like go, well, what do I do? So yeah, that's going on. As for me, you can find me every day except for Wednesdays at twitch.tv/kickedtripod. We're streaming there a lot. It gets rowdy. It's a lot of fun. And we have lots of fun little sounders and things like that. So that's been a lot of fun. I actually hit 700 followers today. So I've been working towards that. So that was really excited for me. You can find me on Twitter, at KickTripod as well. Or you know what? Just go to kicktripod.com and there you can find everything. Links to the podcast, my Discord, Twitch, and Twitter. It is all right there. That's going to do it for us for episode 64. Send us your emails at thepayloadblizzbro.com. Special thank you to Jake Butno for our music. We'll see you guys next week. Bye.